And we are back on Georgia Paul Radio. And we've got in the studio Sully, who we're going to interview in a moment. We're going to just turn that whole table and microphone on him. He's used to interviewing me. We're going to bring him in the conversation a little bit. Our regulars, John Richardson, Stephen Turkheimer, things are getting busy at the Capitol. And so while the first couple of weeks of the Capitol, it you know, someone who is a somnambulant or whatever, sleepwalking, that can just go through the motions. Now's when things get busy and they get fun. And as we talked about last week, now's when things get really petty, because most of the stuff they're fighting on, everyone's trying to have the moral high ground and determining, you know, who can out moralistic the other with legislation. And that doesn't usually end well. And so we've had a lot of name calling this week and people pretending they've never heard the, you know, curse words before, and others running to their blogs and radio stations who have said horribly profane things about Supreme Court justices and pretending they've never heard the word dumb posterior. So, yeah, sometimes there's just a little bit of hypocrisy thrown into these moralistic battles. But, you know, it's politics. It's what we do. So, Sully, we've been through a couple of topics today. Let's first start with MARTA. We had Chairman Ash on. We talked about the reason for MARTA expansion. We didn't really get into the mechanism for it. And one of the things I know that he thinks is important is the proposal put forward, it would be directly to the voters of Fulton County and DeKalb County and let people vote to decide for themselves. So it would not be a legislature-induced tax increase. It would basically say, a few people in Fulton County want MARTA to expand. They believe they have the polls and the public on their side. They've got to convince the leaders to let that happen. But you live here in the middle of town. You, I believe, like to take a little bit of transit occasionally yourself, maybe, given that you don't like leaving the Brookwood neighborhood. I believe you travel on Amtrak wherever possible to support your local logistics industry, but
and to look at the graffiti too. There's this great graffiti by the train tracks.
That, I guess, is probably the upside of an Amtrak. I've never ridden Amtrak, so I have no idea if it's good, bad, or indifferent. But I keep telling myself one day when I go to D.C. I'm going to do that. But you almost have to. The schedule here is like an overnight to D.C. You get on, I think, at about 7 p.m. and you get there about 7 a.m. And I'm just not really sure that's the way I want to go.
Well, if this ended up on the ballot and somebody were to say, would you vote for a penny sales tax here for this? And, you know, if I were to think a little bit about it, it may be something that I consider. I really do wish that we had better public transit in our city, even if it were only inside of the perimeter, even if it were just better access than what we have and more subway stations and easier ways to get around.
To put it in terms of the remote you're doing next week, they're really just asking for another penny farthing, right? It's really not that much. So. It adds up to a lot of money. I mean, we are talking about an $8 billion project. Roughly half of that under this scenario would be federal government dollars, which, again, we all know comes from us. So I never like to pretend federal government money's free, because that money comes from somewhere. But we also know the federal government's going to spend it somewhere if it's not spent here.
On the streetcar.
Or gondolas. We didn't get to that. Yeah. But Sandy Springs, we're just going to go ahead and start calling it Six Flags Over Sandy Springs. They've floated a proposal to have a monorail a while back. They're going to study that. There's news today in the Atlanta Business Chronicle or Business Insider that they're actually going to study gondolas. And it's not anti-MARTA. It's not to replace MARTA. It's actually to figure out how to get people to and from the MARTA stations, because, as we know, the closer you get into the suburbs, and Sandy Springs is rapidly becoming what I would call an urban area instead of a suburban area, but we don't really have the most walkable areas out in the suburbs of getting to these stations. And so if you've got to drive to the station, that's one of the criticisms. You increase car traffic getting to the MARTA station, although I find it funny that at least one of the mayors or I'm not actually sure what his title is, but one of the elected officials of North Fulton, Johns Creek, is saying, no one rides MARTA, their traffic is down, but we don't want the trains because it will increase so much traffic of people driving to the stations. So it's not, no one rides it, you know, it's almost a Yogi Berra. No one rides MARTA anymore because it's too crowded to get there. But gondolas?
I think we need to include zip lines in this conversation.
Oh, and now we have it.
Maybe we could partner with REI and we could have a zip line, say, from the North Springs MARTA Station King and Queen building down to Peachtree Center. You could promise an 8-minute, you know, from point A to point B. It might not be a bad idea. Maybe one stop at Lenox, maybe?
The problem with that is it sounds like it's one-way transportation. It would be very easy to get you from the King and Queen buildings to Peachtree Center. I've got to figure out then, do we, I guess, maybe put one from 191 back to Sandy Springs? it's clearly we could get a study. The Sully and Charlie Consulting Group, we're going to go bid for a feasibility study for zip lines. Maybe that could happen. I don't know. But I'll say on the upside, at least we've got some people trying to look at this. This is, as we talked about with Chairman Ash, this isn't a problem we're going to solve for today or tomorrow. You're talking about capital construction projects that the first phases wouldn't be complete for 7 to 10 years, depending on what they go with. And we're really talking about adding 4 million people to the state of Georgia in the next 25 years, and most of them are going to be in Metro Atlanta and probably North Metro Atlanta or inside the perimeter. And so we will be a more dense place, whether we like it or not. I grew up in Fayette County, and I watched the county grow from 12,000 people to 110, I think, before I left about 5 years ago. And we always said, we're not a dense place. We don't want density. We don't want people to move here. And yet we grew in size almost 10 times in my first 40 years of living. Growth is going to happen. And the question is, do we want to plan for it? Do we want to keep density in certain places and along certain corridors to allow the quality of life for people that want that suburban car-based lifestyle? No one's trying to take that away from anyone. But we've also got to be realistic that, you know, by the time we get this plan that we're working on today fully implemented, we're going to probably have to be talking about another one unless the states quit growing. And I just don't know when that's going to happen.
I love monorail, though. I think that it would work.
I'm sorry. It was Ogdenville, North Ogdenville and Havenbrook. I'm trying to remember, monorail sounds more like a Shelbyville idea to me. Yeah. Shout out to Terry Nelowitz. Hope you're listening. Our favorite Smyrna City Council person that also loves The Simpsons and the monorail episode. It's truly a classic.
We're going to be out there at Englishman's Antiques next week in Smyrna.
Oh, that's
Friday.
In Smyrna. Yep. Well, then maybe I'll have to come. For those of you, we've referred to this twice. If you heard the promo coming into this segment of the show, WGST will be out in Smyrna at Englishman's Antiques for once a year sale. And I don't do accents well or impressions. I should just stop right now.
You're going to get some great deals out there, though.
Great
Charlie.
Deals Friday. But the greater deal is you get Georgia Paul Radio one day earlier.
That's right.
Because we're going to be on Thursday of next week. I don't know who we is because, you know, all my people got busy today. But, you know, we'll have some people on. And, you know, if we have to, we'll scrounge up a title or two to have call in so that our people can have quality radio next week.
What'd you think of this week in presidential politics? A couple of town hall on CNN? Catch any of that?
I did not watch any of the town halls. I've really gotten so tired of watching scripted television that I just can't. Even though it wasn't, and from you were telling me you actually thought it was a pretty good setup. I first didn't schedule it, and then I don't like watching that. But I did go to an event, a press availability with Congressman Trey Gowdy and Congressman Lynn Westmoreland. Both of them have worked on the Select Committee of Benghazi. Both are supporting Marco Rubio. They made their case for Rubio. And I kind of like that almost a little more these days, because if you can't get one-on-one with a candidate, I kind of like getting with the people that I know and respect. And I've known Congressman Westmoreland since before he was elected to even the state house. I sold him nails in our little family hardware store. So someone that I know and know him well enough to know why he's thinking, why he is. And it was kind of fun listening to him talk about Rubio serves on both the Senate, I'm trying to remember now, I believe it's the Intelligence Committee and the Foreign Relations Committee, and comparing the current relationship we have with our allies that are getting to the point they do not want to share their intelligence information with us versus Senator Rubio that, he thinks very much can help change that image and work with our allies overseas, because foreign policy really is not something we can do alone. And we just haven't really been doing a good job over that the past couple of administrations. So he thinks that could be an improvement. South Carolina is the end of the line, I think, for Jeb Bush. I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. There are reports out that he's completely out of money. Staff has been told their last paycheck is Saturday, which coincidentally is the day of the South Carolina vote. And it's kind of time for Jeb's people. Jeb had $100 million. Top name ID and went in as the presumptive front runner. And I don't think he's finished higher than fourth or fifth anywhere he's been yet. He has underperformed, and it is time to consolidate this field, and it is time for Jeb to go. And you could probably make the case it's time for Kasich to go, but I think he at least deserves, because of his second place finish in New Hampshire, that he has the right to come south. But by the end of Super Tuesday, if he's not winning or coming in at least strong second to Trump, It goes back to, can he have a national campaign? I think the real battle right now in the national polls is between Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. and it's time for people to start deciding. And I'm really firmly in the camp of I do not want Donald Trump representing the Republican Party. He scares me. He does not represent any values that I have associated with the Republican Party throughout my lifetime. And I don't care. They're one of those candidates I don't like a lot. But I would still rather have him by a lot than having Donald Trump, because one, I think, possibly cost us an election. The other one, I think, cost us the party.
So we will not see you at the World Congress Center this Sunday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, there's a Bronner Brothers beauty pageant there that, you know, I could, if I decided, go down to the World Congress Center to go see that. It's not quite the hair show that they put on, but I'm sure it would be a great time.
At least Trump is speaking at a time when we can buy alcohol, though.
Well, I'm just thinking of the visual between a Bronner Brothers beauty pageant and the Donald Trump supporters in the same building at the same time. If anyone wants to just go people watching, the Georgia World Congress Center is probably the place to do it, especially if those two groups start to meet and interact with each other. Hilarity may ensue, so it could be fun.
Charlie, the weather is going to be picture perfect today. Mid-60s, sunshine. Are you going to go back to work, or are you going to go find a patio to camp?
You say back to work, like, yeah. I'm not there right now, Sully. But wherever I go, there is a button in the center console of my car that puts the top into the trunk. And so I might actually stare into the sun for a little bit, probably enough to careen into a retaining wall or something. But yeah,
well, don't do that. Don't end up on Channel 2.
It's Chamber of Commerce top-down weather today. Georgia's number one place to do business, and it, you know, isn't horrible that sometimes you get days like this in February where we can do good business.
You mean February?
February. Yeah.
Let's put the R back in February.
Are we going to start putting the D in Wednesday? I mean, really, come on. It just doesn't happen.
Touche.
Anyway, next week, Georgia Paul Radio Thursday special edition, so that everyone can go buy English antiques and other great furniture bargains on Friday in Smyrna. We'll be sure to say hi to Terry Nulowitz while we're out there. And what, you got Rick Limpert coming up maybe in the next segment?
Yes,
there, Sully?
Rick Limpert. We'll have some circus peanuts. We'll do some cartwheels here in the studio, and who knows what else.
Well, whatever it is, let's make sure everyone stays tuned. In the meantime, y'all have a great weekend. That's all for Georgia Paul Radio on 640 AM WGST.